gut stuff might be uncomfortable for you to talk about, but it's even more uncomfortable for you to deal with. And you have better things to do this year. Don't let your gut get in the way of that. Kick off the year of the habit and get science-backed digestive support during Ritual's New Year's sale. Their 3-in-1 clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotic help support a balanced gut microbiome. The delayed release capsule is designed to help reach the colon where probiotics can actually survive and grow, so you can focus less on your gut and more on sharpening your salsa dancing skills or whatever your 2026 goals are. Start a habit that sticks with 40% off your first month, plus a free gift with purchase at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I always tried to speak about it. I just never got through it. Just, you know, studied it. And it always intrigued me about how the Salaf, what I'm going to speak about today, always intrigued me. I'm going to tell you what it is in a second. So it might not be... There's going to be different elements to today's topic, but the topic is how the Salaf of Salihin honored the Athar of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Honored, Athar. Athar means anything that reminds you of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How did they interact with things that reminded them of Habibullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? SubhanAllah, it's a very... lost art, to be honest with you. How does someone, you know, and when I really, what really hits me about this topic is, you know, when you're traveling somewhere and you're away from your family, it happened in Tucson. I was away for like a few weeks, and I am walking down a school hall, and I look on the wall, and there's all these names of kids, and there's like Hussein, like my son's name, you know, and right away it reminds you of your son. And you start looking at it, I'm like, yeah, this guy's probably a top student in this class. That's what you do, right? Or if you're somewhere and some kid reminds you of your kid, like naturally you're more inclined towards that person. Your heart just gravitates towards that person because he reminds you or she reminds you of someone you love. And whenever I see a Chevy Caprice, which is not very rare, not very often, you know those old boat Caprices? Whenever I see one of them, I think of my father. Because it's the first car I remember sitting in with my father in my life. You know? You see a Mazda MPV, you remember my dad, I remember my dad. It's like the first van we got in our life. So that these things start happening to you in your life as you, the people you love. It's really weird. It's a ridiculous example, which we'll delete from this audio after. I never really even liked one basketball player named Steph Curry. I didn't even like him in my life. Never liked him. I never liked 3-point shooters. But my brother Abdulrahim loved him. He used to like just play like him, shoot like him. And the moment he passed away, I started loving Steph Curry. It's really weird. You know, love is a weird thing. It's a very strange thing. You know, when you love someone, you do things for that person that you would never do for anybody else in your life. That's what one of the words for love is, ishq. And ashaqa are these veins that basically wrap around a tree that suck the life out of the tree. Okay? So that's why it's called ishq. Ishq is when your heart gets wrapped around with love and it basically sucks the life out of you. Does that make sense? That's another level that happens. The people who love the Prophet ﷺ, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it just wraps their heart and it sucks the life of dunya out of them. That's why الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. If maut is mentioned first, because for them, this world is death. And being with their beloved is life. So their hearts are already like wrapped with the love of Allah. And everything in this world is a barrier. So yeah, they don't love dunya, they love alameen, alam, the universe. Why? Because the universe reminds them of Allah. They don't love the stars, they love the creator of the stars. They don't love the moon, but they love the resemblance of the Prophet to the moon. Like, oh, the Prophet looked like the moon. Or the moon reminds. So everything reminds them of their beloved. So how did the Salaf al-Salihin, and Hub, al-Muhabba, it also comes from the word Hub and Habba. And Habba is a seed. And seeds have to be nurtured for it to become fruitful. And the seeds of love for the Prophet ﷺ are nurtured through knowing about the Prophet ﷺ. Sitting in gatherings like this, you nurture yourself through it. And as you nurture the seed, then it blossoms into a garden of love for the Prophet ﷺ. So I'm not speaking about the love of the Prophet ﷺ today. What I'm going to speak about is how the Salaf interacted with anything that reminded them of the Prophet ﷺ. His name, hadith, a person. I'm also going to share a story with you about an oppressor, literally an oppressor. When you hear the story, you'll be like, surprised, man. Like an oppressor who put someone through so much difficulty, but that person had some attachment to the Prophet ﷺ, because of which the man loved that person. The mazloom loved the zalim because of that. Right? And ultimately, What is something in the world that reminds us of the Prophet the most? It's a place. Medina. So that's how we'll conclude today's discussion. What was their level of enthusiasm, man? They loved the Prophet so much. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how did they interact with Medina? How did they interact on the journey to Medina? What did they do when they first saw, you know, the athar of Medina? What did they do when they first walked into the masjid? I mean, that's a lot of stuff. Hopefully we'll cover a few of these things in the next 15, 20 minutes. Allah in the Quran, He says, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَ أُولَٰئِكُمْ مُفْلِحُونَ. Those who believe in the Prophet ﷺ, وَعَزَّرُوهُ, and they honor him. They respect him, they honor him. And they help his deen. And they follow that which the message that he was sent with, they are successful. So yeah, we could say, you know, like we love the Prophet ﷺ, but you know, we have to know, what does it mean to honor the Prophet ﷺ? Let's look at the lives of the Salaf in a way where we can understand. You know, the first person I will speak about, and there's five different stories he mentioned. So the first person I will speak about is Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, inshallah in our class in Adab al-Muta'allimin this next semester, so people don't try to like sneak out of your third year, you know, or your advanced class or second. I see all the stalkers who are there. Stay in your classrooms, inshallah you can learn about it later. But we're going to learn about Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. And one of the things about Malik, someone said to him, he was a person that he was very respectful to the athar of the Prophet ﷺ. He had a lot of adama for the athar of the Prophet ﷺ. The things that were, athar, I'll translate as those things that reminded him of the Prophet ﷺ. Athar, like the footsteps. When you see a footstep of somebody, or you see like a small shoe, it reminds you of who? That small baby, right? And so that's why small shoes are cute. It reminded you of your son once upon a time when he was actually cute. Now he's a menace, right? He's just chaos in the house. I'm like, Mazi, man, you were like this before. He said, that was my shoe. Like this, like that's, you know, they were so cute when they were that age, and all of a sudden, don't know what happens to them. So, كان مالك إذا ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتغير لونه وينحني حتى يصعب ذلك على جلسائه. The first thing that's mentioned about the athar of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, the name of the Prophet was mentioned. The name of the Prophet is mentioned, his face would turn pale, and he would start crying so much that people will feel uncomfortable sitting next to him. They would try to figure out a way to change the topic. Have you ever seen someone like that before with someone who passed away? You know, you go through that with people who passed away. Like, I'm sorry for bringing this up, you know, because the moment they bring someone's name up, like, wallah, it's sometimes, as a scholar, you make mistakes. Of course, we all make mistakes. But one of the things that sometimes you go through is like, all right, so how's your father? You know? And because you met the father like last year, so, yeah, how's your dad doing? And the guy looks at you and he just starts crying because his dad just passed away a few weeks ago. That has happened to me multiple times in my life. So how's your father? You know which one was the worst one? How's your son doing? Like, how's this? And I'll say his name. Like, how's he doing? And he'll look at me and I just start crying. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. Forgive me. I'm sorry for bringing it up. Everything okay? It's like, Sheikh, he just passed away a few months ago. How, man? Just never woke up. This is how they would interact with the Prophet's name every single time his name was mentioned. What kind of love is that for the Prophet ﷺ? You know why? Because these people had so much love for him and they were so enthusiastic to meet him that, you know, it's like Hasan Basri rahmatullah, he says, this is like I love this line of Hasan Basri rahmatullah. He used to say, whenever the Prophet's name was mentioned, he used to cry. And especially when the hadith of that date palm tree, remember that date palm tree that the Prophet used to give khutbah next to? You guys remember that story? Like the Prophet used to give khutbah next to a date palm tree, and then someone made for him a member, so he moved not too far away from the date palm tree. And as he got up that Jum'ah to give a khutbah on the member, the tree started crying. And the Prophet had to come to the tree and hug the tree and went back to the member. And he said, if I didn't hug this tree and didn't promise this tree that it will be with me in Jannah, I would have cried till the Day of Judgment. So Hasan Basri, he says, Ya ibadallah, O servants of Allah, al-khashabatu tahinnu ila Rasulullah, shawqan ilayhi, لِمَكَانِهِ مِنْ اللَّهِ فَأَنْتُمْ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَشْتَاقُوا إِلَيْهِ. He says, O servants of Allah, this tree, like lifeless, and it has life, but lifeless, has so much enthusiasm and misses the Prophet so much that the Prophet just went a little bit further and it started crying. He said, you're more worthy of crying for the Prophet to meet him. Your enthusiasm should be much more than just the tree itself. And you know the word ibra. You know what ibra means? There's a word abara, ain bara. Man, I'm a little geeky with language, so forgive me. But there's miftah, so it's all good. Abara, fa'tabiru ya ulil absar. So i'tibar means to take lesson, right? Ibra means lesson, and abara means tears. Abara. So the reason why they come together is those who take lesson shed tears. And i'tibar also means ihtiram. The same word means respect. Those who have respect also cry. It's a sign of respect for your mother, your father, for the city of Medina, for the Prophet's name to shed tears. Qifa nabki min dhikra habibi wa manzili. You know, Imr al-Qais used to say, just, you know, the way, you know, to understand how much someone loves somebody is the ibrah of theirs, the abara, the abarat. The tears that flow from your eyes is a sign of respect and love for the one you're loving or the one you're respecting. So Hasan Basri said, look at this tree, man. You should desire to meet the Prophet more than the tree was desiring to meet the Prophet. So Imam Malik used to be in the situation, people in front of him used to get uncomfortable. So one time, one of his students, he asked Imam Malik this. Another thing about Imam Malik, he's like, إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَخْرُجْ لِيُحَدِّثْ حَدِيثًا تَوَضَّأَ وَضُوءَهُ لِلصَّلَاةِ وَلَبِسَ أَحْسَنَ ثِيَابَهُ وَلَبِسَ قَلًّا سُوَةً وَمَشَطَ لِحْيَتَهُ وَلَبِسَ عَمَامَتَهُ. Whenever he would come out to like teach hadith, like he was a different person. It wasn't the same Malik. He would first do wudu, sometimes take a shower, wear the best. He had a pair of clothes that was designated just to teach hadith. And that was his most expensive clothes. The most expensive itr just to teach hadith. He would, you know, wear his imama, his turban. He would comb his beard. You know, I mean, like, it's like literally like a groom getting ready to get married. And someone said to him, like, there's one of his students, Abu Salam al-Khuza'i, he said to him, why do you do this for? Like, why is it that when the Prophet's name is mentioned in front of you, you cry so much, you have this much honor for the Prophet's name? So he said, لو رأيتم ما رأيت لما أنكرتم على ما ترون. He said, if you were to see what I saw, you would not be shocked from what you're seeing. Does that make sense? If you were to see what I saw, you would not be shocked. Because Imam Malik is talking about the people he saw. Okay, how they, so he gave five different small like anecdotes of this. He says, لَقَدْ كُنْتُ أَرَى مُحَمَّدَ بِنْ مُنْكَدِرِ. I used to see Muhammad bin Munkadir. وَكَانَ سَيِّدُ الْقُرَّىٰ. And he was the greatest scholar. لَا نَكَادُ نَسْأَلُهُ عَنْ حَدِيثٍ أَبَدًا إِلَّا يَبْكِي حَتَّى نَرْحَمَهُ. He said, Muhammad bin Munkadir, he was such a great scholar. Wallahi, we never could say, we could never ask him about a hadith and that he would not cry so much so that we would have mercy on him. Why is he crying so much for? Because the hadith reminds him of who? The Prophet ﷺ. Habibi, you know, when we, if you look at all of our brothers' WhatsApp, like, you know how you can pin messages, right? Look at Mufti Duha's WhatsApp. The pin message will be Abdul Rahim, his brother, right? My pin message will be my brother, right? And you just go back and look at, the other day I found like a WhatsApp group in which was like, it's so ridiculous. Like, it's so, I found a WhatsApp group for like some, when in during COVID, we started like, I kind of started helping out, because me, I only eat hand slaughtered chicken, and my mother used to always ask me to get some chicken for her. I was like, man, I can't do this, man. You know, we're all like people of convenience, so I called them, you know, a farm. I said, hey, you know, how about I buy hundreds of pounds from you? And it worked out. So it's called, these guys named it Miracle Farms, and we were getting chicken from a farm, and my mom was getting like tons of chicken at her house, and I was getting chicken at my house. And there was a group that we made, a WhatsApp group called Miracle Farms, and my brother was on that group. I never knew that. Like, I was going back looking at the group, and now I'm reading all of his old messages. And like, every time you read his message, like, man, like, as if he's talking to you. And you can't wait to see him again. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's really crazy. So you understand why they're saying, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Psh, forget about it. That's it. Like, we never seen him, man. We wish we can see him. You know, I remember after the Vancouver program, man, I'm not flexing here. You know, I always remind you that I'm not flexing. All right. I remember meeting Habib after the program, and he was speaking after me, and he came and he asked me. He said, "So what did you speak about, Sheikh?" I said, "Man, these people that are in this gathering, they had so much energy in the room, they're gonna blow the roof off." Like, when I walked up, they thought it was Habib. I was like, oh, like this, you know, like, oh, I'm like, man, like, this is crazy. It's the first time seeing that in my life. I was like, I was kind of getting jealous. I was like, no one's that excited to see me. I wish my wife was. Anyways, my mother is for sure. So I was like, I said, you know, I wish, it's like, I come back to him, like, you know, he said, what'd you speak about? I said, Habib. His name is Habib. He doesn't like people call him Habib. Muslims, he doesn't like when Muslims call him Habib. We should call him Habib. That's his name. So he said, I said to him, you know, Habib, I said to them that, man, I am like so, I'm marveling over your enthusiasm to meet someone who is named after Habibullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he's not even Habib, he's named after Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So imagine the enthusiasm of the lovers of Habibullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how much enthusiasm they have to meet him. And subhanAllah, I looked at this rock solid fighter, you know, who doesn't get like rattled by anything. And he looked down and he was crying. He said, I don't want to even be associated. I don't deserve to be associated in the same sentence. All right? So Imam Malik is saying, Muhammad al-Munkadir, he would cry so much until we would have mercy on him. He says, Kuntu ara Ja'far, number two, he said, Kuntu ara Ja'far bin Muhammad, wa kana kathir al-da'ab wa tabassum. This one always gets me. He said, I would spend time with Ja'far bin Muhammad. And this man was hilarious. Like, just think of Ja'far bin Muhammad, Sheikh Abdullah. Sheikh Abdullah, just a funny guy, clown. You know, of course, he's a really knowledgeable person. But, you know, whenever you see him, he's always making people laugh. He's always smiling. He says, this man, فَإِذَا ذُكِرَ عِنْدَهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِصْفَرَّ لَوْنَهُ. He said, the moment the Prophet's name was mentioned, boom, something changed. Immediately something changed. You know, for us, like that, that's very difficult for us to happen. Like, Sunday chilling and Monday hangover. You know, to flip the switch is not easy. We're still stuck on it. Like, sometimes my wife is stuck on something that happened 12 years ago. I'm like, bro, that 12 years ago. Let's flip the switch. Let's move on. You know, it's done. Nothing's going to bring that back. They're just like, right away, the Prophet things mentioned, he says, وَمَا رَأَيْتُ يُحَدِّثُ عَرْ رَسُولِهِمْ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ طَهَارَةٍ. He said, I've never seen him in my life mention the Prophet's name except for with wudu. Out of respect for the Prophet's name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet's name, Muhammad, reminded him of who? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if someone's name is Muhammad, right away you think Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? When someone's name is Abul Qasim, you remember Qasim? The son of the Prophet who passed away. Someone Abul Qasim, remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone Ibrahim, remember Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam, remember the Prophet's son. All these things remind you of your beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَلَقَدْ the third story, he says, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِنْ الْقَاسِمِ يَذْكُرُهُ بِالسَّلَامِ فَيُنظُرُ إِلَى لَوْنِهِ كَأَنَّهُ نَزِفَ مِنْهُ الدَّمِ وَقَدْ جَفَّ لِسَانَهُ فِي فَمِهِ هَيْبَةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, if you've seen Abdul Rahman bin Qasim, when he would mention the Prophet's name, and you would look at his color, it would turn pale, and as if he's about to bleed from his nose and his eyes. You know, just so red. That's how red he would get. And his tongue would start stuttering out of just respect and awe of the Prophet. He says, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُ آتِي, fourth story, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُ آتِي عَامِرُ بْنِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ زُبَيْرِ فَإِذَا ذُكِرُ عَنِهُ وَسَلَّمَ بَكَى حَتَّى لَا يَبْقِي فِي عَيْنِهِ دُمُوعٌ. He says, I would come next to Amr ibn Abdullah bin Zubair, the son of Zubair is Abdullah, his grandson Amr. He says, when the Prophet's name would be mentioned, he would cry so much, that he would not have any tears left to cry. Khalas, that's how much he would cry when he would hear the Prophet's name. He says, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ الزُّهْرِي, the fifth story he mentions. He says, Imam Zuhri was known to be a person that remembered everyone's names. كَانَ مِنْ أَهْنَيْ النَّاسِ وَأَقْرَى بِهِمْ. Like, he was a person that was so, he was like, in Urdu we say, يَارَوْنْ كَيَارَ. Like he was a friend of everybody. He recognized everybody, he would ask everyone, he was personal with everybody. He says, فَإِذَا ذُكِرَ عِنْدَهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, when the Prophet's name was mentioned in front of him, فَكَأَنَّهُ مَا عَرَفَكَ وَلَا عَرَفْتَهُ. It was as if he did not even recognize you. He's like this, stunned. And you would not recognize him. What happened to this guy? He's a completely different person. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, this is the five things that Imam Malik mentioned, the stories. I just shared it with you. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, I'll read the story to you in Arabic. When he was tested through the aqidah of the people that believed that the Quran was a makhluk of Allah, and he stood, you know, steadfast. وَتَعَاقَبَ ثَلَاثَةٌ مِنْ خُلَفَاءِ بْنِ الْعَبَّاسِ الْمَأْمُونِ مُعْتَصِمُ الْوَاثِقِ. And this test and trial, I'm not going to go into the details. We don't have time. But of course, inshallah, the first year that you're going to be stalking me, we'll be talking about him as well. So him, he went through three different. You know, there's like. What is it called? Not called the establishments. Biden and Trump. Administrations. I'm sorry, I'm not a politician. Okay. He went through three different administrations from Banu Abbas. Okay. He went through Ma'mun, who started it. Mu'tasim, who actually just destroyed Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He went crazy. And the third was Al-Wathiq. So now during Al-Wathiq's time, he said, bring him out. And they used to love seeing people debate. They were just weird like that. That's why us, in our maslak, we're not supposed to be debating. Don't make everything a debate and a discussion. I like this and I like that. This is against the fabric of Islam. Don't just, it's okay. If you don't agree with somebody, move on. Don't, especially with elders. Al-kaf'al al-nisan. You should be able to hold your tongue back. Don't say anything. If there's elders in the room, they're saying something you don't agree with. Who cares? Move on. So he was now brought out in front of Wathiq. And Wathiq, while he's chained up, نَاظَرَهُمْ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ تِلْكِ الْحَالِ. While he was chained up, he was debating with these people. They were saying this, and he was saying this. فَخَصَمَهُمْ وَقَطَعَ عُجَّتَهُمْ وَأَبْطَلَ مَكِيدَتَهُمْ. And so Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal always won the debate, but everyone was too stubborn to see it. They were like, oh, no, I'll go back. But this time Wathiq, Allah opened his heart. He said, man, this guy's evidence is clear. What you guys are saying is wrong. This guy, what Imam Ahmad bin is saying, he's about 7 years old now. He's like, what he's saying is 100% correct. He said, you guys get out of here. فَأَمَرَ أَن يَفُقَ قَيْدَهُ. He said, remove his chains, let him go. So now Imam Ahmad, I want you to picture this. He was chained up, and the moment they opened the chains in the handcuffs, أخذه الإمام أحمد. Imam Ahmad grabbed them all and put them in his hand. فنازعه إياه السجان. The people who were the guards, they wanted to take the chains back from him. And فأمر الواثق أن يدفع القيد الإمام. فدفع إليه. Now Wathiq said, no, give it back to him. He wants to take the chains, let him take the chains. So he had the chains and the handcuffs in his hand. فسأله الواثق عن سبب أخذه. Wathiq then asked Imam Ahmad Hanbal, why are you taking the chains and these handcuffs with you? فأخبره أن ينوي به أن يخاصم به من ظلموه عند الله تعالى يوم القيامة. وقال رحمه الله أقول يا رب سل عبدك هذا لما قيدني وروع أهلي وولدي وإخواني بلا حق. He said, I want to keep this with me, and I want these chains and these handcuffs to be with me on the Day of Judgment. And I want to present them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to ask Allah, oh Allah, ask these people. Why did they imprison me? And why did they strike fear in my family's heart? Why did they make my family so frightened? My children so frightened? My brothers so frightened? For no reason. I want to ask Allah this question, to ask these people. Why did they make my whole family go through this? So much pain. It has nothing to do with me. Just take care of me. Why are you putting my whole family through this for? وَبَكَى الْإِمَامَ أَحْمَدُ حَنْبَلُ فَبَكَى الْوَاثِقُ وَبَكَى مَنْ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ. Imam Ahmad started crying. I'm going to ask Allah about this. Because it's easy to go through pain yourself, but then seeing your family go through pain is difficult. And even the Khalifa started crying, who's the one who's a zalim of the time. And the people that were putting him through this started crying. ثم سأهل الواثق أن يجعله في حل وسعة مما ناله على يده. He said, then the Khalifa, Wathiq, he says to Imam Ahmad Hanbal, he says, Shaykh, please, I beg you, forgive me. Please, you can't leave this room until you tell me you forgive me. You gotta let me go, because I don't want to be someone who's held by you on the Day of Judgment. Now, this man is from Banu Abbas, right? So when you say Banu Abbas, what's one of the first things that comes to your mind? Abbas, radiallahu anhu. Man, I don't even know how to tell you. I can't even explain this to you. That's how deep this is. When you say Banu Abbas, the first thing that comes to your mind is Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. And if you love the Prophet so much, then you think of Abbas and his relationship with the Prophet. Do you understand? Abbas. When the Prophet would be sitting in the room and Abbas would walk in, the Prophet would lower his voice. And he would tell people, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَخْفِضَ صَوْتِي أَمَامَ عَبَّاسِ كَمَا أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنْ تَخْفِضَ أَصْوَاتَكُمْ عِنْدِي. Allah has ordered me to lower my voice when my uncle walks in, the way Allah has ordered you all to lower your voice when I'm in the gathering. Abbas would sit right next to him. The night when Abbas was in prison, but the Prophet couldn't sleep the whole night, he cried the whole night. How can I sleep when my uncle is chained up? That's the love he had for Abbas. So when you think, when someone says, I'm from the children of Abbas, look, it's easy for us to think of this now. When someone says, where are you from, brother? I'm from Gaza. What do you think? Right away. Like a whole scene unfolds in front of you. Maybe this person has nothing to do with Gaza right now. Nothing. But the thing is, what you're going to start thinking of because you love the people of Gaza and what's happening there, you want to help them, you're going to right away start loving this person. This person, these people, three administrations of straight dhulm and oppression. But these are people that are from the family of Abbas. That's what they call Banu Abbas. So now imagine Imam Ahmad, he says, now you understand the picture? Imam Ahmad, now this man is saying to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, please forgive me. Imam Ahmad bin says, Wallahi ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, laqad ja'altuka fi hillin wa si'atin min awwal yawmin ikraman li Rasul Sallam idh kunta rajulan min ahlihi. He says, what are you talking about, Amir al-Mu'mineen? Wallahi, the day I was imprisoned by you people, I forgave you and I used to make dua for you from the first day out of respect for the Prophet ﷺ. Because you people are from his family. You're from Abbas's family. Khalas is it. And, you know, these people understood the generality of the word neighbor. The Prophet was told that Jibreel Salam told me to take care of my neighbors until I thought that they will inherit from me. And that neighbor, the word neighbor, did not have an adjective, good or bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was just neighbor. That's it, khalas. You got to take care of the neighbor. This is the same thing with the family. Is that good or bad? And they understood that because these people reminded them of the Prophet Salam. Finally, man, I think we're done with the time, right? We have a few more minutes. Finally, you look at these people, and you look at them, and their love to see the city of the Prophet was unbelievable, man. Umar bin Khattab, when he went to Bayt al-Maqdis, people talk about him getting the keys of Bayt al-Maqdis. People don't talk about the story of Ka'b al-Ahbar accepting Islam. Okay, he was a Jewish alim. He accepted Islam. And the moment he accepted Islam, he grabbed him. He says, come with me to Medina. I'm going to show you Medina. I want to take you to the grave of the Prophet. Right? I want to take you there. Why? Because if the Prophet was alive, he would be so happy to see you accept Islam. Right away took him there. Khalid bin Ma'dan, his daughter, Abda, she used to say that my dad, how he used to put himself to sleep, he used to just put himself to sleep by repeating over and over again, oh Allah, please take me to the city of my beloved. Please take me there. The city where Jibreel came down, the angels came down, the city where the Prophet lived, the city where the Prophet drank water, the city where the Prophet sat with the Sahaba, and like this he would fall asleep. Just saying this over and over again. And we ask ourselves, why don't we see the Prophet in our dreams? Because we fall asleep looking at our phones. So it's a huge difference between us, the way we fall asleep, and the way they fall asleep. Upon, you know, these people, even the Prophet ﷺ himself, when he would get close to Medina, he had so much love for Medina. When he would get close to Medina, he would start seeing like the trees and the hills. He would start riding his camel faster. Let's get there quickly. Because he wanted to die in Medina. Right? And he would say, one of the poets, he says, وَأَبْرَحُ مَا يَكُونُ الشَّوْقُ يَوْمًا إِذَا دَنْتَ الْخِيَامُ إِلَى الْخِيَامِ. He says, you know, you have this enthusiasm to get to a destination, but then when you start seeing the traces of your beloved, then you just want, you want to get close to those traces. You want to get close to those landmarks. إِذَا دَنْتَ الْخِيَامُ إِلَى الْخِيَامِ. When you start seeing the tents of your beloved, you want your tent to be, and so you quickly rush there. One poet, he says, this is Alama Suyut Rahman mentions about the scholars of the past. They would say these poems the moment, you know, when you flying over Medina, when you get to Medina or you get close to it and you start seeing the lights and the, you know, the minarets. Walamma ra'ayna, I want you guys to like try to like understand the sweetness of this poem. Walamma ra'ayna rasma man lam yada' lana fu'adan li'irfan ar-rusum wa la lubba nazalna 'an al-akwar namshi karamatan liman bana 'anhu an nulimma bihi rakba. He says, when we started, وَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَا, once we started to see the landmarks and the traces of the city of our beloved, such traces and such landmarks, لَمْ يَدَعْ لَنَا فُؤَادًا لِعُرْفَانِ الرَّسُومِ وَلَا لُبَّى, that it did not, forget the beloved himself. You know what's up? Forget, there are, you know, some people who saw the Prophet's, like Hazrat Aisha says that one woman came and said, I want to see the Prophet's grave. And when she removed the curtain, the moment she saw it, she passed away. You know, some people just see someone, like he's the poet is saying, our love cannot even withstand, like we can't even like comprehend and tolerate seeing the traces of our beloved. Imagine seeing the beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, what we can do is, نَزَلْنَا عَنَ الْأَكْوَارِ نَمْشِي كَرَامَةً. From far away, we just get off of our rides and we start walking, right? Why? Because لِمَنْ بَانَ عَنْهُ أَنُّ لِمَّ بِرَكْبَ. It is so disrespectful that we just rode up to his city. You know, how could we have the courage to do that? It was very common among the Salaf al-Salihin. When they got to the Hulayfa, they would walk 6 miles to the city of the Prophet, to the masjid of the Prophet. They never would ride a camel or a horse. They would get off and they would walk. One poet, he says, لَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ قَاسِدًا أَسْعَى عَلَى بَصَرِي لَمْ أَقْضِ حَقًّا وَأَيُّ الْحَقِّ أَدَّيْتُ. He said, if I came in your service walking on my eyes, like walking on my head, Wallahi, O Prophet of Allah, I did not fulfill the respect, the right of your respect. And how can someone like me even respect you properly? لَمْ أَقْضِ حَقًّا وَأَيُّ الْحَقِّ أَدَّيْتُ. How could I even comprehend to fulfill your respect and your honor, even if I walked on my head? He says, وَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَا مِنْ رُبُوعِ حَبِيبِنَا بِطَيْبَةَ أَعْلَامًا أَثَرْنَا الْحُبَّ وَبِالطُّرْبِ مِنْهَا إِذَا كَحَلْنَا جُفُونَنَا شُفِينَا فَلَا بَأْسَ نَخَافُ لَا كَرْبَ. He says, when we first saw the city of the Prophet ﷺ, right away, right when seeing the traces, the minarets, the mountains, Mount Uhud, you know, we, like, when you saw Mount Uhud, like, what happens to you when you see Mount Uhud? Some people went from Umrah, you know? I just came back, like, what happens to you when you find out the Prophet drank from this well? Or the Prophet sat here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet walked here. He says, our love for the Prophet increases once we see that. You know, even Layla and Majnun, you know, like, it's just, he says, أمروا على الديار ديار ليلى. وَقَبِّذُ الْجِدَارِ وَذَلْجِدَارَ وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَغَفْنَ قَلْبِ وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ. People saw this man, Majnun, walking around, kissing the walls of the city that Layla lived in. And someone asked him, what are you doing here walking around, strolling on the walls? He's like, it's not the walls that I love. I love the one who lives within these walls. Right? It's not the walls in the mountains of Medina, but the one who sat on this mountain, who walked on this mountain, who fought on this mountain, who bled on this mountain. This is why we love this mountain of Uhud. This is why we love the city of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, وَبِالطُّرْبِ مِنْهَا إِذَا كَحَلْنَا جُفُورَنَا. Wallahi, we wish we could just, you know, Imam Shafi Rahman used to say, he said, I wish, because he was born in Gaza, he says, I wish I could just go back to Gaza once and take the dirt of Gaza and put kuhul in my eyes, surma. That's how much I love it, so I miss it so much. So he's saying that over here is, I wish I could just, you know, take the dirt of Medina and put surma in my eyes, because that's all I want. That's all my eyes will ever need. So this is the love for the athar of the Prophet ﷺ. Let me put you in the shoes of Uwais al-Qarni, rahmatullah alayh, the man who had so much love to meet the Prophet ﷺ, but he never met him. Just put yourself in his shoes the day he walked into Medina for the first time. Where did Uwais al-Qarni pass away? Do you guys know? He was Shaheed. He passed away in the Battle of Siffin. And that's another battle that if you stay in Miftah long enough, you'll find out about. So we're going to keep going. But I just want you guys to know, you know, but you guys know Uwais al-Qarni. If you don't know, learn. So Uwais al-Qarni was someone that the Prophet told him to stay back and serve his mom. So because he was serving his mother, he couldn't come to see the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet told Ali and Umar رضي الله عنهما, this man's gonna come, make sure you ask him to make dua for you because his dua is accepted. He's telling Umar and Ali رضي الله عنهما. And Umar and Ali found him in Hajj and they begged him to make dua for him. With the condition, you know, Umar ibn Khattab used to stand up every year. He's like, is there anyone from this village here? And he said every single year. One day he did that, one guy stood up, he's like, that man met the criteria of that person from that village. He's like, the only one person standing. Anyone from Yemen, everyone's standing. Then anyone from here, and all the way till the family tribe. So one time he did all that, and this man was standing, he's like, are you Uwais? And he says, no, that's my crazy cousin. He's like, you're crazy, where is he? That's what he said, that's my crazy cousin. He said, you're crazy, where is he? And Umar al-Khattab, he's like, oh, he's over there grazing his sheep. Boom, he bolted right there. He was giving the talk, he left. And Ali chased him. Imagine that, like Umar and Ali chasing this man, finding him, like they saw him. He says, you know, he's like, make dua for us. He said, no, who am I? How am I doing make dua for? He's a prophet told us to say his salam to you. And he told us, when you see him, tell him to make dua for you, because his dua is accepted. And he said, okay, I'll make dua for you with one condition, don't tell anybody else. He used to always hide. He always traveled, because people knew this now. So people would come flock towards him, so he never lived in one place. SubhanAllah, this man now finally walks into the city of the Prophet ﷺ. You know, after all that. Brothers and sisters, the moment he walked into the Prophet's masjid, he fainted. Fainted. And he got back up, fainted again. Got back up, he says, I can't live here. I just can't, I'm sorry. I'm going to go in the path of Allah and die a shaheed. Right? I mean, like, this is such love for the athar of the Prophet ﷺ. Athar. What reminds you of the Prophet ﷺ? Bilal, Allah anhu, 20 years after the Prophet passed, he left, he couldn't give adhan anymore. And the Prophet came in his dream and he said, yeah, Bilal, what's this disloyalty? What's up? And Bilal finally comes back and, you know, he's walking the same streets that he walked with the Prophet. He's standing in the same place where he once used to stand and see the Prophet walk out of his house. And he gave adhan and everyone just started crying, weeping in the city of Medina. Right? Remembering the Prophet's time. Abdullah ibn Barak, he says, I heard from Imam Abu Hanifa, you know, the people always ask, you know, what should we do when we go to the grave of the Prophet? What should we do? So Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, he says, you know, I want to find, Abdullah ibn Barak, he says, I heard from Imam Abu Hanifa that he said that there was a scholar, his name was Ayyub Sakhtiyani, rahmatullahi. He was a great tabi'i, one of the kibar tabi'in. He says, when he came to Medina, I wanted to see how he, what his behavior is upon seeing the city of the Prophet ﷺ, upon walking into the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, when I saw him, his face was just pale, and the entire time he was just quiet, as if he didn't know how to speak. He was just mute. And the entire time he was just crying, just tears flowing down. He said, then I read, Imam Hanifa says, then I realized, the greatest speech is just tears. The greatest dua is just tears. You know, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, he writes this poem. He says, Be zubani tarjumane shok be had ho to ho, warna pesh yaar kaam aati hai taqdeerin kahin. Gar agar char aansu hale dil sab keh diya unse, diya mujhko zuban ka kaam chashme khun fashan tune. He says, you know, the speechlessness is the greatest way, greatest manifestation of showing your enthusiasm for something. You know, when you say, like that, like they become speechless when they see, oh my God, is that him? Oh, like this. He said, this is what he's saying. He says, the words don't have any impact on that day. It's the tears that speak that day. Sukoot ishq ko tarjeeh hai idhar ulfat meri aahein rasa nikli ye niklikli ye nale bhi athar nikle. He says, on that day, the silence of love is much more effective than the words of a person who loves. Oh yeah, it's a beautiful place. Oh, you saw that place? No, the silence of love, which is expressed through tears. You know. When the people would come to the, when they would come to the Prophet's grave, people just came back from Medina Munawwara. When they would come there, they would, you know, we know that the verse, وَلَوْ أَنَّمْ يَظَلَمُ أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُكَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا الْمَرْسُولَ وَجِدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Al-Allama Atabi mentions the story of this one Bedouin who came to the Prophet's grave. And he goes to the Prophet's grave and he says, Allahumma innaka qulta wa qawluka al-haq. He says, oh Allah, you said and your statement is true. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ يَظَلَمُ أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُكَ. If these people committed sins, they came to you, O Prophet of Allah. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ, they ask Allah for forgiveness. وَاسْتَغْفَرْ لَهُمَ الرَّسُولِ, and they ask the Prophet to ask Allah for forgiveness on their behalf. لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا, they would find Allah to be all-forgiving, all-merciful. وَقَدْ أَتَيْتُكَ مُسْتَغْفِرًا مِنْ ذُنُوبِي مُسْتَشْفِعًا بِكَ إِلَى رَبِّي. He said, oh Allah, I have come to you seeking forgiveness for my sins. And oh Allah, I have come to your Prophet to intercede on my behalf, because you said he's the one who, if he intercedes on my behalf, you'll accept. فَأَسَلُكَ يَا رَبِّي أَن تُوجِبَ لِي الْمَغْفِرَةِ. كما أوجبتها لمن أتاه في حياتي. Oh Allah, I beg you that you forgive me, even though I have come to him after he has passed away, but the same way you forgave those who came to the Prophet while he was alive, and he asked Allah for forgiveness, I want you to forgive me that way. And then he mentioned the poem, يَا خَيْرَ مَنْ دُفِنَ بِالْقَاعِ عَظَمُهُ فَطَابَ مِنْ طِيبِهِنَّ الْقَاعُ وَالْأَكَمُ نَفْسِ الْفِدَاءُ لِقَبْلٍ أَنْتَ سَاكِنُهُ فِيهِ الْعَفَافُ وَفِيهِ الْجُودُ وَالْكَرَمُ أَنْتَ الشَّفِيعُ الَّذِي تُرْجَى شَفَاعَتُهُ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ مَا زَلَّتِ الْقَدَمُ وَصَاحِبَاكَ فَلَا أَنْسَاهُمَا أَبَدًا مِنِّي السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمَا مَا جَرَى الْقَلَمُ. He said, oh, the one who is the best person who have, يَا خَيْرَ مَنْ دُفِنَ بِالْقَاعِ عَظَمُهُ, the best thing the dirt has ever touched is your body. That's pretty crazy expression. That's why, according to most ulama, jumhur ulama, the most precious and blessed place on this earth is the dirt that's touching the Prophet's body. فَطَابَ مِنْ طِيبِهِنَّ الْقَاعُ الْأَكَمُ. And your presence made the entire, the dirt and then the rocks and everything around it, it just blessed the entire presence. Just you being there. نَفْسِ الْفِدَاءُ لِقَبْلٍ أَنْتَ سَاكِنُهُ. Oh Allah, oh Prophet of Allah, the Sahaba used to say, may our lives be sacrificed for you. They said that while you were alive. Oh Prophet of Allah, I'm saying to you, may my life be sacrificed for your grave. The way the Sahaba sacrificed their life for you while you were alive, I will sacrifice even if you're not here. Big difference. Someone in front of somebody is different in your absence. Oh Allah, oh Prophet of Allah, you're the one who I expect to, I hope that you'll intercede on my behalf on the Day of Judgment. This poem he mentions, long poem, it's actually engraved on the Prophet's, you know, when you go to his grave right now, Rawdah Mubarak, it's engraved there right now. They still have it over there if you look at it properly. Alam Atbi, he says, I fell asleep. I saw the Prophet in my dream, and the Prophet told me, go to this Bedouin and tell him, I have asked Allah for forgiveness, and Allah has forgiven him. He woke up, chased him, and he told him. So brothers and sisters, wallahi, these are just some few thoughts that came to my mind about, you know, making sure that we have respect and honor. You know, we go to Medina Munawwara, when we're leaving Medina Munawwara even, you know, when we're coming back from Medina Munawwara, like, you know, the people of the past, when they would leave, they would always be scared, because the Prophet said that this Medina Munawwara is, it will not let anyone that does not have Iman live in it. It would just filter people out. So they would feel that they're being filtered out. So the only way that they left Medina was the intention to serve Allah's deen. Otherwise, you're being filtered out. Literally, like, that's the only purpose you can leave Medina, that you can make you feel better, is that, okay, I'm going to take the Prophet's deen and spread it all over the world. And if I have to die there, I'll have to die there. That's the only place I can die, is if I would rather just live in Medina and die in Medina. But Sahaba lived outside of Medina and died in those cities and countries because they were serving Allah's deen. He's like, you know, urtke thaqib, go chala aya hoon, uski bazam se dil ki taskeen ka magar saman usi mahfil mein hai. He says, even though I have left this place physically, but I have left my heart there. I have left everything that I can get comfort from over there. أُرِيدُ وِصَالَهُ وَيُرِيدُ هَجْرِي فَأَتْرُكُ مَا يُرِيدُ لِمَا أُرِيدُ. The poet, he says, I want to stay next to the Prophet's grave the whole day, the whole night. But he, the Prophet, desired from his Sahaba to go all over the world, spread his deen. So I will sacrifice what I want for what he wants. So the Salaf al-Salihin had an amazing, amazing way of showing love and respect to anything that reminded them of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I managed to, you know, just share a few of those, you know, incidents and a few ways that they were so moved by anything that reminded them of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one day we will speak about, you know, how they love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But today I just wanted to speak about this. In our life, we should be the same way. When we are sitting in the gathering of Hadith Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we should never speak. This is as if the Prophet is alive right in front of us. When you go to Medina Munawwara, as if he's alive right in front of us, you should be so respectful. When someone's name is Muhammad, it should make us look at him differently. Someone's name is Aisha, think of Aisha Lanha. Like, imagine the way you start thinking changes, because you love him so much, everything just revolves around him in that manner. And inshallah, if we start doing this, we're successful, because Allah says, those who honor him, honor him, honor the things that he stood for, honor the things that he loved. You know, there was a Sahabi who even started combing his hair like him. And anything you find, you know, I always say, I'm gonna finish with this, I always say, like, people are like, why are you wearing this turban for? I'm like, you know what, man, I'll be honest with you, I'm sure I got it wrong. I'm sure I got it wrong. But I'm ready to meet the Prophet on the Day of Judgment. He looked at me and said, what are you wearing? You know, I'm sure many of the sisters, like the Ummah al Mumin, are not going to recognize it. Like, what are you wearing? What kind of hijab is this? And we'll be like, you know, mother, I mean, I thought you wore this. No problem. At least you gave it a shot, right? And I feel the same way about the Prophet. I'm like, what are you wearing? Ya Rasul, I thought that's what you wore. You know what? You got it pretty wrong, but it's fine. I honor you for trying to be like me. Boom, let's go. I feel like that's how our conversation will end up being, inshallah. Right? So we have to try to just copy and emulate as much as we can. You know, like zahir, batin, publicly, privately, thought-wise, mindset-wise, speech-wise. And honor the things that remind you of Allah and Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah khair wa akhir da'wana.